Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats, silence your cell phones, for you are now listening to Much Ado About Wrestling!
Welcome, fair listeners, to Much Ado About Wrestling, the podcast that can correctly predict pro wrestling outcomes by recognizing their tropes. Although, I guess we'll see about that. We already are more confident in your predictions than mine, Tyler. I'm one half of your scholarly presenters, Andrew Terrence Caberline, and with me, as always, is the man with the plan, Tyler Ward. Tyler, how are you doing? How are you feeling?
I'm good, man. I'm good. The man with the plan. That's what they call me, or at least that's what Andrew has called me for the last 10 minutes.
I was curious about like how much time you were going to put on that. Yeah, man with the plan. There wasn't really a good prognostication one to go with since we burned through the good one a few weeks back.
We did.
So this is like a first in new territory for us episode-wise, and hopefully we'll become an annual thing. So this
is that a weird overanalyzation that our episode about prognostication we didn't plan very well.
Yeah, and that we predict it will become an annual thing. It's meta on so many levels.
So
we have normally at the end of our WrestleMania review we make bold predictions about the next year. We've decided to make a full episode out of that this go around. So we're going to be making bold predictions for things happening in the wrestling year, 2021, the year of our wrestling Lord, which is, you know, started the second after, WrestleMania 37.
Who is our wrestling Lord this year?
Well, it's not the Undertaker anymore. Lord Alfred Hayes. Like, I don't know if there's any other wrestlers with Lord in the name.
I mean, my go-to is usually just Macho Man, but all right.
I mean, yeah, that makes more sense. My Kingdom Come. So we're making some predictions about the next year in wrestling and kind of ruminating about how likely we think they are. There's going to be some things that we're predicting that we are fairly confident will definitely happen, and some stuff that we're going to be nuts on, and we haven't shared these with each other at all. But we are going to get into a few news items before we do that. First, we want to remind everybody that we are currently running our annual contest for top 10 wrestlers and matches of the year. I know that you can probably hear that ambulance outside my window right now, but we have to push through this. That's running through April 26th. Yes. Go to muchadowrestling.com, and on our homepage you can find our post about this contest. We have the links there. Mm-hmm. You're picking your top 10 wrestlers, your top 10 matches.
Yeah, I think from the seeing the engagement with the post and stuff online, I think we've already got a good number of people have responded and filled out. So, the more the merrier. You know, we want to get as many people in here. We want to see what you guys thought about the wrestling year that was. It was a weird one, but it was still a good one.
It was a weird one, and there were surprisingly a large number of matches that I think we will think of as iconic going forward. And what happens if you participate and vote for these, Tyler? What can possibly befell you?
Befell you? It sounds like a horrible thing.
Yeah.
you may be one of the lucky individuals chosen to receive a $50 gift card to Pro Wrestling Tees for all of your wrestling paraphernalia needs.
What is your favorite random thing that's on Pro Wrestling Tees that you could buy with $50? Beyond t-shirts. Much more than
t-shirts. They have a lot more things. I have been eyeing a pair of the like custom Chuck Taylor shoes I know like the Young Bucks have some, and a few, there's a few other ones. Like, I would love to get a pair of those, but honestly, like the most realistic buy, like I really want that Orange Cassidy towel.
yeah, that's
just, like,
a good
his
one.
Face as a towel, like, oh, that looks great.
I'm not someone who has bought many like mystery boxes before, but I've got very close to buying them from Pro Wrestling Tees.
So I had genuinely, every time I make a purchase from Pro Wrestling Tees with like an intentional like shirt or something, generally I'll throw in one of the mystery shirts.
Yeah.
And I have been rewarded before. I got a Okada shirt one time as the mystery bag, and I was
I know what shirt you're talking about. I didn't know that that was a mystery bagger.
I was like, hell yeah, Pro Wrestling Tees, they crushed it. And then I think I did it again one year, and I can't remember what the, oh no, it wasn't the shirt. I did the they have this other thing, I don't know if they still have it. It's like kind of messed up stuff. So it's like
the discounted, like it wasn't printed centered kind of thing.
Exactly. Like it's like a hat with like a missing letter or a t-shirt that's like off center or something like that. But you can buy that stuff super cheap. And I did that one time and got an elite baseball hat that was really cool. So
how many times have you worn that in public?
Once, because I realized it was too small for my giant head. That was the other thing. You couldn't really pick the size, so they sent me like a medium to small hat. And
they're like, look, do you want this crap or not?
Yeah, not going to fit my head, but they got a lot of cool things over there.
Yeah. All that is to say, make sure you vote before the end of April 26th so that you can potentially win that.
Yes.
You know? And then let us know what you buy with it. I'm curious. I'm curious to see what people are getting. There's one other little news item before we get into our two prognosticating segments of the show. Mm-hmm. And this isn't like a huge news item, but I thought it was just something interesting that we could talk about, being that, as far as we know, we're the only pro wrestling podcast that is run by people with theater degrees who are interested in the conventions of theater. There was an interview last week where Tony Khan mentioned that he was considering adding intermissions to AEW pay-per-views. This was on Busted Open Radio. He said, quote, "We have great video packages and we could do that. Also a countdown clock. If you watch The Road to or The Countdown, you might have seen them, but that's even better. They're part of the pay-per-view, putting some video packages up. I think it's a good idea. If people like it, that makes me feel a little better. Maybe it's a good idea. If the fans like it, then maybe it's a good idea." Man, that quote was hard to read.
I was going to say that. That is the most like telling thing of how Tony Khan speaks. Well, I think it's a good idea. No, it sounds good. Maybe it could be a good idea.
Yeah, so, but the idea of an intermission at a pay-per-view, what is your initial reaction about if this is a good idea or not?
Yeah. So, I mean, my initial reaction, like, with the format that AEW pay-per-views are right now, I'm not necessarily sure if it's needed. And that's coming from me, like, who is, again, like, wrestling fan. Like, I can absorb a lot more wrestling than the average person in one sitting. But, like, AEW pay-per-views, they run from anywhere about 2.5 to 4 hours sometimes. And that's the perfect amount of wrestling for me. I could see why, you know, a 15-20 minute intermission in the middle to show some video packages or something could be helpful. Personally, I don't think it's necessarily needed. I would absolutely recommend it for those, you know, longer shows that like WWE used to put on, 7-8 hour WrestleManias. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, please, I would love an intermission during that.
That would have been great, but I think they've corrected that the 2 nights.
But I don't know if it's needed on my end. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that it is a really good idea for only one subsect of viewers, and that's people who are there live, right?
Oh, yeah, like, that's a good,
like,
point.
There's a reason that most plays have intermissions, right? Mm-hmm. Because, like, bathroom breaks, and if you are, at least in, like, the world of theater, if you are in a place where you're being presented with something highly emotional, but you are expected to remain silent, that I think that, like, it is valuable for plays to have intermissions so that the audience members can, like, refocus, basically.
Yeah, and I think actually going off the bathroom break part, I think if anything, it would be helpful to the product itself, because then yes. you're not having those bathroom break matches where mm-hmm. everyone is planning like, oh, well, this is going to be the match that I'm going to go to the bathroom at. And typically, a lot of wrestling fans choose the same match to do that. So yeah. it could be helpful to the performers as well.
Yeah, you're right. It takes the onus off of the performers there. And beyond bathroom breaks, it also provides, I think, a dedicated time to sell merchandise and more products. Because mm-hmm. sometimes I end up not buying anything at a live event because I don't want to miss anything that's going on, mm-hmm. right? And then I'll be like, well, maybe I can go get a hot dog right now. And then you see the line and you're like, no, I'm going back to my seat.
or you go out to buy a t-shirt and they don't have the specific size, so you move around to every single every single merch hut that they have looking for the one shirt and they can't find it.
Yeah, these are very real user experiences that we've mm-hmm. had. But yeah, so I think it works. It makes a lot of sense for the in-person person, but mm-hmm. for someone watching at home, I don't know. Like one of the last appeals, one of the last things that's appealing to watch live as a video consumer is sporting events and sports mm-hmm. entertainment like wrestling. And the intermission seems like more of like a thing you would want if you were like streaming it after the fact, right? Like mm-hmm. I don't... like it allows the person with the remote control an opportunity to channel surf.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And I think that's dangerous. But it's like, have you ever gone to like movies that have intermissions?
Oh boy. Like maybe once or twice. It is kind of like a weird thing when you're not expecting it in that format.
Yeah, but I was going to say that like maybe if it works there, it would work for that home viewer. But then again, like if you know, I remember having an intermission at Hateful Eight when I mm-hmm. saw that in theaters, and it's not like I was like, oh, let me see what else is going on.
Yeah,
in
yeah.
Mall. You know, it's not
what else
like,
is playing in the
that.
Theater.
Yeah, so I guess
I'll go pop in on Guardians yeah. of the Galaxy.
So maybe it's something that they test out at house shows yeah. for.
Weird,
for a
weird
long time.
Tangent. I recently was an audience member in a Zoom musical.
Ooh.
It was a musical over Zoom, and there was a 5-minute intermission where the video stopped and someone came up and they were like, all right, you know, walk around your house, get some drinks, go to the bathroom, and then we'll be back in 5.
You know, I now I think about it too, the last concert that I went to before quarantine started was at Madison Square Garden, and it was Wolfpack, and they had an intermission in the concert that was not like a set break. It was just mm-hmm. like they had a woman come out on stage and talk people through like a transcendental meditation for like 10 minutes and then okay. went back to playing. And you know, I really appreciated that. All I thought right. that was a nice a nice way to do it.
I'll try it. I mean, sure.
Yeah, this concert I know exists on, like, I know it was filmed and is streaming somewhere too. Mm-hmm. So you can okay. see what I'm talking about. That was a wild night. Highly recommend. So yeah, we'll see. It works for house shows, and like I would definitely love to see it at indie shows, and I know that there are some independent promotions that do intermissions, but yeah. like maybe even if they had these long video packages and just had the countdown in arena so that you knew like, oh, I have exactly 7 minutes to go to the bathroom before this match starts.
Yeah,
you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe that would be good. All right. Moving on to the predictions then. We're getting into it with some dour news. Mm-hmm. Another annual tradition, Tyler, and that's WWE spring cleaning.
The worst tradition.
So in a move similar to last year, WWE did their spring cleaning where a large number of wrestlers were released at one time, one fell swoop. This was highlighted by a few surprisingly big names, like Samoa Joe, Billy Kay, and Peyton Royce. So in the past, these mass releases have been chalked up to cost-cutting maneuvers or because creative had nothing for a big group of performers. But with WWE profits surging this year, and with the presence of real competition for the released wrestlers to be employed by for the first time in quite a while, could there be another reason for these specific releases? Were there any besides those three that really stuck out as surprising to you?
I mean, not those three were definitely the big ones. Were like, wow, why did they release them? Samoa Joe and Billy Kay specifically. Billy Kay wrestled on WrestleMania not a week earlier.
And Samoa Joe announced it.
Samoa Joe commentated in a poncho for you people. But no, so like it's some, those were the shocking ones. The other ones, nothing against them at all. They were just talent that clearly hadn't been used in a very long time. Didn't seem like they were going to be used. It's just, I don't know. It's another dick move by WWE because the whole cost cutting thing, the proof is in the numbers. Like, you guys have made more money. WWE is worth more money now than it has ever been. So you saying that we're cutting these people for cost cutting it's bullshit.
Yeah. But I should point out that I don't know that WWE said in any press release that was the reason.
I don't think they have confirmed it. There has been reports of some from the people who have been released saying that, like, when they received the call from whatever person,
from Johnny Ace,
letting them know that they were gone, the reason that they were given, like, hey, there's been some budget moves or stuff like that, and you don't qualify, essentially, like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's probably a thing you just tell someone when they're being fired. Because here's what I'm going to say, what I think the real reason for these releases were. I mean, part of it is just like a gluttony of people are on a roster and can't all be featured because WWE went through a huge buying phase before AEW went up.
Yeah, that's the weird positive here is that people aren't just sitting at home being paid. Not that that's a bad thing. I mean,
Bo Dallas was.
I say congrats for them to just be getting a paycheck to do nothing. But like creatively, I'm glad that these people aren't trapped within a contract where they can't, you know, do the things that they want to.
I think we were both surprised because about half of these people did have ongoing storylines or like things that like were recently featured prominently. And I think that the reason behind some of these cuts, I think we're going to get more periodically throughout the year, the feeling that I got coming out of WrestleMania is that I think WWE is picturing themselves as transitioning out of the reality era. I think that they see a generation of wrestling ending. And I don't know what the next identity of the next generation is going to be, but I think that they a large number of stars of theirs have now passed that cliff.
Could you elaborate on that? what you mean some of the people who they let go are like too old for their new audience, or
I think so. I think that they are. I think that they know that a number of their bigger stars on the card are on the other side of the hill, right? And I think they're going to start either releasing more of these people or letting their contracts run out without them doing anything.
Yeah.
And I think that you already saw a lot of people who were less prominently featured on WrestleMania to allow for newer stars to get the spotlight. And like, I'm not necessarily saying that like AJ Styles is going to get released, but like he hasn't had a lot of direction, and him and the New Day are, you know, in the top five biggest stars in the company, and they were there to put over a young person. Yeah.
I get what you're saying. I think it's the idea of, so like Samoa Joe is a good example. So like Samoa Joe is a huge star in the minds of wrestling fans our age,
Era.
who watched him in Ring of Honor in the early 2000s and then TNA for a long time and was really hype on him coming to WWE finally. And so I think for Yeah, maybe for a lot of the younger viewers who don't know that history of Samoa Joe, they're like, who is this guy and why are people so hype on him? He's just a commentator who used to wrestle sometimes for WWE. Mm-hmm. So I get that, but where I'm puzzled for people like Peyton Royce and Billy Kay, who both very young, both
those
young
are the most nonsensical releases.
Yeah, both very young in their career. Personally, I felt like they still had so much to do. Yeah, so it's ones like they're kind of puzzling to me.
Yeah, I don't see what any of the logical reasons to get rid of them, right? Because like some of the people on this list, like Mickey James, Kalisto, Bo Dallas, have all been with WWE for more than a few years. Yes. So you imagine that they are getting incremental raises, so they are probably more expensive to keep on roster than Billy Kay or Peyton Royce.
Exactly. And
so it
not
makes
even
sense for them to go.
Really, so.
Yeah. It's like, to do like a sports analogy, it's sometimes getting a big superstar player right now. Like if I got LeBron James right now on my team, who's like 33, maybe something like that.
Jesus, you're that young. Oh my God.
But that's ancient in basketball.
What are we doing with our lives?
Yeah. That's ancient in basketball. And so it's, you would rather have a rookie who is, if you're starting a new company or a new team, you would rather have a rookie who's like an 82 overall who is on a rookie contract. So he's, you know, you have him for 5 years cheap.
You can pay him a tenth of what you'd have to pay LeBron.
Yeah, and he's going to get better every year. Yeah. And rather than like getting LeBron now, being forced to pay him for 5 years, knowing that sooner than later he's going to hit a cliff of diminishing returns. And I think a lot of these names are probably viewed that way. Billy Kay and Peyton Royce are not. And they are so valuable to other companies that I don't understand releasing them either. But I do think that there is a youth movement that is going to be the focal point of WWE going forward. I don't think you're going to see AJ Styles as world champion again. I'm trying to think of other people in that era. Maybe Randy Orton will be like the elder statesman, but he's
in that John Cena role of
but
always,
John Cena's gone.
But well, that's what I mean, like before, like the towards the tail end of Cena's active time, like he still got that one final reign that he had for a month or two before he lost it to Bray Wyatt. So I think that because Orton is still an active guy who's there every week, there's always the possibility of putting the title on Orton. But yeah, I mean, you can absolutely tell that they are starting to focus more on their younger crop of talent, which is a good thing. It's something WWE's been criticized for years, not putting over young people and relying too much on these old legends. So like, if you think about the fact that like just the women's division, Bianca Belair and Rhea Ripley left WrestleMania as the top women's champions. Yeah. So,
and I mean, assuming that they at some level internally, they must be seeing AEW as competition. I don't know if they even thought of that until like this week when they pulled in 1.2 million viewers.
Yeah,
which was like a huge, I think probably opened some eyes. And so maybe they think that there is enough changing in the landscape that if they want to prepare for another war or for the future, then they have to do what made them win the Monday Night Wars, and they need to allow people past a certain age to finish up elsewhere and build the new stars.
Yeah.
So I think there's going to be more people leaving, or like I said, like just disappearing from TV and staying home that are surprising names. That would be my guess. But we'll see. Let's go through the list of releasees one by one and kind of prognosticate where we think they're going to end up 90 days from now. How about that as a day, a totally random day?
Yes.
So Samoa Joe, let's start with him. His last appearance, of course, WrestleMania 37 commentary. He's been commentating for more than a year. Where does Samoa Joe end up?
So Samoa Joe is a tough one because of this list, Samoa Joe is easily the hottest prospect. Any company would, I would assume, is you know, chomping at the bits to hire Samoa Joe. Samoa Joe is he's not like old like in WWE standards, but he's old. He's in his late 30s, I think, close to 40. And so I mean, I'm sure he's still got a few more years in him to go. So it's depends like how much companies would want to invest in him for something like
that.
He is
42, by the
way.
He's
42. Wow.
Yeah. He trained with John Cena, which is like a thing that I feel like we forget sometimes. Yeah.
So he's older. Like he could, you know, probably have a good, hopefully like 3, 4, 5 years or something like him. So like, again, like the fan in me would love to see Samoa Joe go to AEW or something like that. I think it's far more likely. It depends on what kind of money Samoa Joe wants, but like, I don't know. I'm leaning more towards a ROH sort of thing, having Samoa Joe return to Ring of Honor to finish his career there.
He certainly was like the biggest star for them when they exploded. So that would be a homecoming.
Yeah.
I'm going to suggest that it's less going to be about money for him because he has been appearing in voiceover work and stuff and has been opening up other revenue streams. I know that he lives in California, so I'm going to go out on a limb and say that he is going to be showing up signed for New Japan Strong.
Oh, New Japan USA? Yeah.
Yeah, that he will be like the prominent person for that, and I with the forbidden that. Door open, he could still do spots elsewhere. Yeah. But I
God,
think he's
I would
gonna
love Samoa Joe in New Japan.
Yeah, I think that is gonna be my guess. He is one of a few people that I'm gonna predict will end up in the G1 this year.
Oh, yes, yeah, give it to me.
Do we want to talk about Billy Kay and Peyton Royce separately, or do we assume that they will be going to the same place?
I'm assuming they are going to be a package deal. Not to take anything away from either of them. I think they're both very good in their own right, and they each have things that they excel at. But, like, you got to get both of them together. That's where they're going to shine. That's where they're going to be able to give the most to your company. I am fairly confident on this. I think Billy Kay and Peyton Royce are AEW confirmed at this point.
Is that mostly because of Ty Dillinger, of Sean Spears?
It is the connection. Peyton Royce's husband, Sean Spears, works for the company, has a very prominent role within the company. It's absolutely that is a big playing. But also, I think, again, I think AEW, they've been very, you know, quick to pick up these recently released WWE talent that the wrestling community seems to collectively agree that we're underutilized in WWE. The Iconics being a huge part of that, who were broken up for no reason when they were one of the funniest parts of the entire show.
Reportedly so that Peyton Royce would get pushed.
And then Peyton Royce didn't get pushed. And then Billy Kay was like getting sort of a push because Billy Kay is freaking hilarious. And then you had her do WrestleMania and then you fired her a week later. But yes, I am fairly confident they're going to AEW.
I'm going to go contrarian here. And I'm going to say that I think they're going to show up in Impact.
Ooh,
and
okay.
The only reason I say that, I mean, Impact's women's division could have nosedived after Tessa Blanchard left, but they have really spent a lot of time and effort. Both of those companies have spent a lot of time and effort building up their women's division smartly, because that is like a thing that WWE just like blew everyone out of the water with.
Yeah, yeah.
But Impact's women's division has been consistently really good. AEW's women's division in the last like 3 months has really ramped up.
Excellent, yeah, yeah.
But Impact is the only one that has tag team titles for women.
That was going to be my other point, that if AEW wants to start to transition to creating a women's tag division, like, you need the Iconics.
Yeah, but I also don't foresee them. The AEW doesn't seem like a company that wants to have a bunch of titles all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see.
I mean, I think they're going to need it. They keep hiring people.
They have a lot of people.
Yeah.
That's the thing, is that, like, not everyone can go to AEW, right?
That's true.
There's people need to move around. Mickie James is probably the next biggest name on that list. Mm-hmm. Her last appearance was NXT Standover, or sorry, Takeover Stand and Deliver, where she was the pre-show host.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mickie James, where is she going?
Honestly, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Mickie James, not retired, but didn't sign like a full-time contract. I don't know if she's, you know, set on being a full, like a completely active wrestler still or not. But for me, like, I think she's in WA just because her husband's there. So,
yeah, I agree with you. I think she'll take the opportunity to go where Nick Aldis goes, which is NWA. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have a pretty solid women's division too. I mean, there are people for her to mix it up with. I mean, Serena Deeb and mm-hmm. Thunder Rosa before they become AEW exclusive.
Thunder Rosa signs with AEW.
Yeah, but like, I guess, like, I feel like there a lot of these people may not sign AEW contracts because they still will have the ability to potentially show up there for one-offs.
Yeah, you know? that is a good point.
Yeah. Chelsea Green, the hot mess. Does she go back to Impact?
I think so. Chelsea Green is a weird one too, and I think I feel most bad for her in that she was hired with WWE like a year or two ago, like mm-hmm. probably 2 years
not too
ago
long.
At this point. But she's maybe had 1 to 2 TV matches, and that's because she's been, unfortunately, very injury prone, and she just never got the chance to actually start. So I feel bad for her that her entire run in that company was her being injured on the shelf.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would guess her going back to Impact.
I guess we should say too, that's another one where her husband signed to, or her fiance is signed to Impact. So.
Is he signed to Impact?
I think so, right? Matt Cardona?
Yeah, yeah.
He's not signed to AEW.
I knew he's not signed to AEW. I didn't know he signed with Impact. Interesting.
I think he's... I don't know if he's officially signed. I think he's officially signed.
Interesting.
Yeah, he's signed to Impact officially because he's been doing stuff with Curt Hawkins there, too.
Okay.
Tucker.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Where do you think Tucker's going? Tucky?
Man, I think that one... I don't know if he ends up in like Ring of Honor or
I see him going to AEW. Nothing against him, but I don't think AEW sees him as a big enough get.
No. Maybe he'll end up in New Japan. Honestly, like he's a big dude, a big American dude, and that's the kind of person into.
That'd be the best thing for his career, I think, because that's a fact of these seemingly underutilized American guys who we haven't mm-hmm. seen do anything really good in WWE go over to New Japan and suddenly they get to shine.
There's a lot.
Guys
a
like
lot
Juice Robinson and Darren Young and
Lance Archer.
So I Matt that Bloom. Would probably be the best thing for his career.
yeah. I think he's got to have some striking background, but that would be good for him.
Yeah.
Kalisto. This is one I feel like people didn't talk about very much. I mean, Kalisto's had a mm-hmm. had pockets of being very prominently featured in WWE.
Yeah.
He's
former United States champion.
Yeah. He's still pretty young. He's 34. He's bilingual. Mm-hmm. Where does he end? I mean, I think he's sneaky valuable.
He is. I mean, I don't know, like, because he could be valuable to any American or English speaking promotion, being that he is bilingual and he doesn't have like a hard accent. Like, he has a very great English speaking voice.
Yeah.
So he could be a valuable get for anybody.
I'm trying to think of who he has like a history with. I guess he worked for AAA America.
I was
going to
say,
for a while.
Who did he work for AAA or MLW or?
Yeah, I mean, MLW would make the most sense, especially since I believe I saw last week that they trademarked MLW Aztec Underground. So I think that they are going to kind of try to relaunch what the Lucha Underground size hole
right,
in professional wrestling. So that would make sense. I think that like New Japan America would make sense too for him. I think that like he is, there are a lot of places that could stand to have another bilingual luchador.
Yeah.
Mojo Rawley.
Oh,
got
man.
Released.
What do you think of the chances that Gronk gets Mojo a NFL tryout?
Well, I think he... Did he play in the NFL already?
I think he was one of the... He was like a summer camp prospect or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know if he ever played or got drafted or anything like that. Because I'm assuming that's how he's friends with Gronk, I guess.
But... Yeah, I think he went to college with Gronk. Oh, he okay. he got signed as an undrafted free agent to the Green Bay Packers. And then he played in one preseason game. And that's about it. So
I think of the list of people, Mojo Rawley is the most likely one to me to never wrestle again.
I think it might be Bo Dallas, but they're up there as a
okay.
Mojo was last seen June 15th on SmackDown in 2020, and wow, I didn't realize we hadn't seen him in that long.
Wow,
that's nuts. And then Bo Dallas, we haven't seen since Crown Jewel 2019. So I think both of those
he's been getting paid to sit home from us two
years.
Well,
he's running a farm successfully.
Bo Dallas is?
Yeah. I believe has become like a passion of his.
Hell
so
yeah,
I think
Bo.
He's probably done. And then Wesley Blake is the last one that we have. Former NXT tag champion and you know, has been kind
former
of
former forgotten son.
Yeah. A truly forgotten son now. I think that could be a New Japan one because he could technically be a junior, right? Is he Australian?
I think Buddy was the Australian. Wesley Blake, I wouldn't be surprised if he was Canadian or something like that.
he's from San Antonio, Texas, so we both had it wrong.
Texan.
He's 240 pounds. Why did I think that he was smaller than he is? I don't know. He's only ever wrestled in WWE.
Yeah. I don't know about a New Japan for him. I think Wesley Blake is more likely an Impact or maybe a Ring of Honor, but that seems like a stretch almost to me.
Yeah. So
he might even be just like a full indie guy.
Yeah, just like traveling the territories. Yeah,
doing whatever Big Cass is doing right now.
Well, Big Cass is just got out of rehab, I believe, and is like
he's showing up
hardcore and
showing up at a lot of indie promotions. I know he's not signed anywhere, but you know, maybe just traveling around doing that.
He could get signed somewhere soon, I feel like. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, these are the more timid and reasonable predictions.
Yes.
So it's time to get funky in here. We're going to look to the future, make some bold claims and predictions about where we think pro wrestling will be as an industry in a year's time. I pulled some actual future bets that you can make at actual casinos.
Okay.
I'm going to open this up really quickly just to see, like, Tyler, are there any in here that you would advise people to spend their hard-earned
money on? Would I put money on?
Yeah. So these are the future bets that are available. Are you can bet on someone being the Raw Women's Champion at the end of 2021, the SmackDown Women's Champion at the end of 2021, and then the Men's World Titles at the end of 2021.
Okay.
So I guess like going into who's going to be champion going into Royal Rumble is kind of the idea. And the odds are in a way where it's like for every $100 that you bet, here's how much you would make, right? So the favorite for Raw Women's Champion is Rhea Ripley at 175.
Okay.
So you'd bet 100 to win 175. Then Charlotte Flair, Alexa
That's
Bliss,
good bet.
Becky Lynch, and Asuka are the top five there. And a bet, $100 bet on Asuka would pay you $500 if she is champion at the end of 2021. Peyton Royce is on there. I imagine that's a bad bet.
That's probably a bad bet.
Mandy Rose at plus 1600 is interesting to me. And
What's that payout?
That is $100 to make $1,600.
Okay. Okay.
The lower ones on there. Okay, here's maybe who I'd put my money on. Naomi is at plus 3,300. So I feel like that is a worthy use of $100
because that's a fairly safe bet.
Yeah, she's someone that can put the belt on at any time.
Exactly. Former champion, crowd favorite, believable as a champion. So, okay.
Yeah. If you think Bianca Belair is holding on to her title the whole year, that's a plus 125 odds. Sasha Banks is next at plus 250. Bayley at plus 300 is good money. She could be champion at any point. Billie Kay was at 3,300, as was Mickey James. Natalia, Ruby Riott, and Tamina are all at that too. Yeah. Carmella plus 800. I like that.
That's, again, former champion. There is always potential.
And then on the men's side, Roman Reigns is the only person who has a negative score. So he is so heavily favored to still be Universal Champion at the end of the year that you have to bet $250 to make $100 for that. I think that's a terrible bet.
Yeah,
you should not do that.
Apollo, I mean, not to say that he won't be champion. Like, that's a good bet. But
but like Seth Rollins at plus 500, it's like, yeah, take that.
Good
like,
bet.
That's a good bet. Big E is at plus 800. Sami Zayn is at plus 4,000.
Oh.
I think that is worth betting $100 on because, like, he could be the heel champion for whoever is going to win at WrestleMania really easily.
That'd be a great payout, and there's potential there. I don't think I would make that bet.
Yeah. Here are the three people. There are three people who are not even close to favorites on the WWE Championship side that I think these are the three actual bets I would put down if I had some money.
Yeah.
Randy Orton at plus 800.
Very good bet.
Sheamus at plus 1,000.
Again, never overlook Vince McMahon's willingness to put a title on Sheamus.
Riddle at plus 1,400, okay, which I think is good money for that. And then towards the bottom, plus 4,000 for The Miz.
Again,
is that the best bet on here?
That might be the best bet. Again, like, The Miz is clearly someone we can put the title on at any point.
Yep. So you might as well go for the long shot there.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get away from the actual Vegas odds of this.
All right.
So
let's get weird.
We tasked each other to predict one person who's never won a major world title who will win the big one in the coming year.
Mm-hmm.
Who is most likely on that list, do you think? I guess it's not a list. A list of everyone in professional wrestling.
So I have some clarifying questions.
Great.
Is this world title, major world title,
yeah,
or could just be major singles title?
Major world title.
Major world title.
So
okay.
I guess the ones that we are counting as major world championships are the Raw and SmackDown women's titles, the WWE Championship and the Universal Championship,
okay,
the Impact World Championship, the AEW World Championship, the IWGP Clusterfuck Championship. You know, those are what we're considering. Yeah.
Okay, so in that case, my pick is that I believe. So sorry, I had one more clarification.
Great. Yeah.
So are we basing this off the end of the year of 2021 or off our wrestling year at next WrestleMania?
Going into WrestleMania 38.
So next WrestleMania. Perfect.
Yeah,
perfect.
Between now and then.
So between now and next WrestleMania, I believe that this man is going to capture the AEW World Championship, and that man is the Bastard Pac.
Oh, that's interesting because I also... I thought the most likely first-time world champion would be in AEW as well, and I think that between now and then, Hangman Page will be.
That's a very good bet. It's a very good bet.
What's interesting about this too is that those are the two people at the AEW initial press conference who said that they wanted to be the champion, right? And neither of them still have. Why did you go with Pac over Hangman?
I don't get me wrong. Hangman is excellent. Hangman will be AEW World Champion. Personally, I am hoping that the slow build of Hangman eventually claiming the title is even longer. Draw it out even longer. Just build that slow burn babyface energy as much as possible, so that when he does finally capture the title, it's that much better. I am leaning towards Pac because I love Pac. Pac is excellent. I think Pac, though he has gotten more spotlight recently, again, a lot of his, by no fault of his own in 2020, of being on the other side of the ocean and not being able to wrestle, yeah. I think he's been severely underutilized. And I just think he's a believable world champion. If he's the one to take the belt from Omega, like, it makes sense. He's beat Omega before in a singles match. I would love for Pac to be champion.
I would love it too.
Yeah.
I agree with you that I think the Hangman storyline, like, it's not a question of if, it is a question
it's
of
just when. Yeah.
And I think that they're going to pull the trigger, I think, 3 months after they have full fan capacity again.
Yeah.
So I guess that's more me betting that they will start having full fans.
Yeah.
Come like the end of the calendar year of 2021. Yeah. That's my prediction.
I was torn on this one because I'm confident that when Hangman gets that belt, he's taking it from Omega. I am
Me
confident
too.
That's the person he's beating for the title, because that makes the most storyline sense with their tag team and everything. He has to beat Omega for the title. But again, my hope is that you draw it out longer. Let Pac take the title from Omega for like a few months or something like that. Maybe Omega gets it back or something like that. So this is where I was torn, because again, Hangman is definitely beating Omega for the belt. Like, that's almost a guarantee in my mind.
Yeah.
My other thought, and this was like, as I wasn't, if it had to be a world title or not, world title, I didn't feel confident on it, but I felt very much I had to second Jim Ross's own statement on Dynamite not 2 weeks ago, of saying about one Jungle Boy Jack Perry. He said, and I quote, "Jungle Boy will be AEW or TNT champion this year."
Yeah, I'm kind of, I thought it could have been on Wednesday that this happened.
Oh, God, yeah, I thought that was it.
Those, like, him and Darby are two people that I wouldn't mind watching them, like, exchange the title back and forth a few times.
I really hope that they put it on him. It's not I like Darby, but I'm getting stale on Darby as the TNT mm-hmm. champion. Just put it on Jungle Boy for a little bit. Oh,
you might get your wish sooner than the later on that.
Yeah.
Jumping over to WWE,
mm-hmm.
what is going to be the main event of WrestleMania 38? Sometimes this is really easy to predict. I feel like mm-hmm. this time it's pretty hard.
Kind of hard. I'm going on kind of a long shot here, and again, it's not even really a long shot, because when you hear it, you're going to be like, oh yeah, it totally makes sense. I think the main event of WrestleMania 38, I think WWE might be a little high on this triple threat main event bug, so I think the main event is going to be another triple threat match, but this time it is going to be contested between Charlotte Flair, Bianca Belair, and a returning Becky Lynch.
Yeah, I think that is pretty likely. I also, like, I was going to say maybe Charlotte versus Becky would be a conceivable one-on-one
mm-hmm.
main event as well. But, like, the women's division, there's so many ways that they could go with that. I think you're right that if Becky returns, then that seems like a surefire WrestleMania main event, right?
Right.
I think, and now I'm trying to think if this is actually like a big enough moment to close all of WrestleMania, is I had Big E versus Roman Reigns as the main event. Of like, that's the only person, again, another person who can win a major world title for the first time. That was the only one who felt big enough to close, you know, pun intended, to close WrestleMania to me.
I mean, I got nothing against that. I would absolutely love that. Again, the cynic in me is questionable to how much WWE thinks that would be worth, and like whether or not they would actually give Big E that spotlight. But
that could also happen at SummerSlam. Like, you know, I do think that you will see Big E winning the big one this year.
Yeah.
Pun intended again. So let's look now to new faces, same faces, new places. let's predict one currently under contract wrestler who you think will be wrestling in a different promotion by the end of the year.
Okay. So this one, I had two answers, and it was dependent upon when our year in was allowed.
Mm-hmm.
So if we are going by next year's WrestleMania,
yeah,
this works perfectly. Because the man that I am considering, he has a contract right now with a company that is expiring at the end of 2021.
Mm-hmm.
So it wouldn't have been possible had that, but since this is going to carry over to next WrestleMania, it's entirely possible now. And I think it's a very strong possibility that one Mr. Danhausen from Ring of Honor is going to be signed to either WWE or AEW, and I would almost guarantee that.
Did you see his thing with Conan O'Brien this week?
I know he was on the Conan podcast. I haven't listened to it yet. Yeah. I heard it was great.
Conan was very into him.
I got a whole story about this.
Go for it.
I've known about Danhausen for a little bit. I've never like looked into him or like really like researched him, but I went down like a Danhausen rabbit hole like a week or two ago. I found his YouTube channel and just started watching, and my God, this man is hilarious. And so like, and I don't know if it's like, maybe he's always been kind of like this popular and I just haven't been aware of it, but it feels to me like he is blowing up right now. Like everyone is talking about Danhausen. Like he was on the Conan podcast. He did a funny YouTube video today that was retweeted by the Dwayne the Rock Johnson, and CM Punk commented on it. So like, I don't know, man. I think he's hilarious, and like I love his character so much. His Ring of Honor contract expires at the end of 2021, and not that he wouldn't want to re-sign with Ring of Honor. I think that, like, I don't know, the way right now that it seems like his status seems to be elevating at such a rapid rate, like, I don't think Ring of Honor is going to be able to afford him. I think he's going to get offered massive money at some other company.
That's a really good one. That's one, not one that I had on my radar, but you made a very good argument for him appearing somewhere else soon. I wonder if Warhorse would go with him, too.
Love that, Danhausen.
Yeah. I thought that we were going to have the same person, and you'll understand why, because my person is also someone with a expiring contract in this window, and his name is Dan Yul Brian.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, this is one that I was gonna have as be like a really bold prediction.
That was
been saying like interview stuff in the past 2 days. I'm like, shut up! Like I haven't that recorded is, this yet.
I'll just tell you now, that is my least bold prediction, actually.
Yeah. So
Daniel Bryan does not re-sign with WWE.
Let's talk about that when we get to it in the coming up here in a second, but that is the person I think is most likely to end up somewhere else. You know, we've talked a lot about older wrestlers going to AEW. Is there anyone in AEW who is young who you think WWE is going to try a snipe?
Can
like realistically snipe?
Yeah, because
like all the elite people are tied into the business side of it too.
I mean, I think there's absolutely potential. I'm not sure, like I haven't looked into any contracts here, so I could be completely wrong and someone might be signed to a multi-year deal that I don't know of. But I mean, right off the bat, were I to guess, guys like Will Hobbs is a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
Big strong guy, looks like he can go. Honestly, it's maybe not, because I know he signed a deal that was a little over a year, and being that he debuted in September, so like there's potential that he could do it. I don't know why he would ever go back, but like if they don't start utilizing Miro, they're gonna lose him.
Yeah, they gave Miro some direction this week that I think will put him on a path.
I feel like if they don't start using him like the way, like just, you know, to more of an extent, I think that he hopes to be used, like he's going to leave, but I don't see why he would ever go back to WWE.
Yeah. I see them looking at Britt Baker, and
ooh,
like that's someone who they could be like, they're not engaged, are they? Your significant other. You can say, like, he is over here.
I think so. This would be a question for Sarah. She would definitely know the answer to that.
So she's one who I think that they would target. But I think...
I don't think she's leaving.
I don't think either. Here are four people who I think are conceivable people to leave that they might throw a lot of money at. I know that they just lost Kalisto and Andrade, but I know that they've also said that they want to open up more stuff in a Hispanic market. Mm-hmm. And I this isn't one of my bold predictions, but I could see an attempt to expand to NXT Mexico. Mm-hmm. So I think it would make sense for WWE to go after Pentagon,
mm-hmm.
Rey Fénix, and then Ortiz and Santana.
Yeah.
Those are four people that are young, mm-hmm. who are bilingual, who I would be like, okay, let's go get them right now.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, they would be great picks for WWE. Yeah. I'm more curious if any of those people would be willing to leave AEW. I mean, maybe
WWE could send Rey Mysterio in there to talk him into it. But also, like,
well, also, what's Rey Mysterio's contract looking like?
Well, I think he would be the William Regal of NXT Mexico.
Because Rey Mysterio also wrestled at All In, the first one. So,
yeah. So TBD. We'll see. Maybe there won't be as many jumps as we think.
My other bold prediction for if it, like, depending on the year end thing, and this one I'm not sure about because, again, I don't know what his contract looks like. There's been no definite answer on when his contract expires or how long it is, but Kota Ibushi to AEW.
Yeah. He doesn't seem like someone who ever has contracts on actual pieces of paper. We'll see.
They're all words, word of mouth handshakes.
So we're finishing our podcast with the boldest of predictions yet. We each were tasked to come up with five bold predictions, and mm-hmm. we're going to count them down from least bold to most bold.
Yes.
So, Tyler, do you want to hit us off with your number five bold, but the least bold of your bold statements?
Yes, my least boldest prediction. We have already touched on it. I think that Mr. Daniel Bryan will not re-sign with WWE.
Wow, Tyler, we did not share any of our thoughts on this going in. My number five was Daniel Bryan will retire from wrestling with a multi-promotional tour.
It's not outside the box at all.
It's certainly not after this week. Where Daniel has been doing interviews and has said both that he had a sort of, like, disconnected, out-of-body experience while mm-hmm. making his entrance to WrestleMania this year. He said that
he had a real epiphany of life or something.
Yeah, I mean, he's on borrowed time. He now is a new father. He has said, like, this isn't us speculating, he has said this week that he both that this has made him considering walking away from wrestling, mm-hmm. and he has also said, I think this is maybe even like yesterday, that he really wants to explore the idea of being mm-hmm. someone who can come and go from WWE and wrestle people elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if WWE would let that happen, but I think we both agree that Daniel is probably not going to be wrestling much longer, and that, like, the appeal of being able to wrestle people he's never wrestled before or friends in old places mm-hmm. seems like too big a thing for him to stay away from, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What would WWE have to offer to be like, no, you're going to stay here and retire here?
It's tough because, again, Daniel Bryan is not a money guy. So
no.
I don't think there's any amount of money that could convince him to stay. I think it's got to be a contract thing, a clause thing of, like, what he's allowed to do, what they promised, like, to give him things, you know. So I don't know. I mean, I think it would almost be unheard of for WWE to offer him some sort of contract where he can wrestle elsewhere. Like, I don't think they would offer that even to Daniel Bryan. So I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's more likely that he doesn't re-sign, mm-hmm. goes and takes a bunch of bookings, and then, like, is like, hey, I'm going to come back and do a match for WrestleMania to end everything mm-hmm. if you want me to. We'll see. Yeah. But I think, yeah, we both kind of agree Daniel Bryan will be elsewhere. What's your number four on the countdown?
My number four, this one, I would say about not as likely, but still fairly likely given recent reports and stuff that we've seen, is I think one, Tessa Blanchard is going to be signing with WWE.
Yeah, I think they're the only place that is big enough to take on her risk, right? Mm-hmm.
Because well, like, I mean, they've got a fair number of other people with risks as well, so.
Yeah, and it's not like she is someone who, if WWE brought her in, she wouldn't automatically be the number one most prominent female wrestler.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, like, she, and like, there's no way that she would be able to argue that unless she has zero self-awareness.
Yeah.
Which, you know, could be a thing. Yeah. Do you think that they would put her in NXT or put her straight on the main roster?
I don't know. I think she has enough of the indie fan base right now to, you know, she would have a fair, I think she could come into NXT and immediately thrown to the top. You know what I mean? She could immediately be a contender for the title in NXT. I don't know if she has enough mainstream appeal for them to immediately bring her to the main roster and have her challenge against like Charlotte or something, even though like that's the dream match, Tessa Blanchard versus Charlotte Flair. But like, I don't know if she has enough mainstream appeal for that. I think it would be better if they brought her to NXT and then worked her up.
Yeah, I think she might be needed more immediately on like SmackDown, where there's just not a whole lot of active women's wrestlers. I mean, that would be a great move for WWE. And again, if like more persistent problems happened, it would not be difficult for them to cut and run.
Yeah. What's your number four?
My number four also had to deal with the WWE women's division. This is amazing that we are having this kind of thing without planning it. My bold prediction number four is that Becky Lynch will wrestle zero matches in 2021.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. There was something.
Do elaborate.
Yeah. I think there's still, it's hard to walk away from a newborn.
Mm-hmm.
And Becky does not, WWE needs Becky more than Becky needs WWE.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And Paul Heyman said something on some interview recently where he was like, it's not an issue about bringing her back, it's like they're like coming up with an idea to bring her back, it's coming up with the idea, right? Like
right.
Like mm-hmm. There's so much pressure on that
well, she's been away for so long, and every added day that she stays away, it becomes that much bigger of a thing. It's the same with like CM Punk coming back. Like,
yeah,
there's no way you could bring CM Punk back now and do it justice.
And it's keeping both of them relevant for that reason, right? So, like, if it's like really, it's like, what's the rush? If they're building up Rhea Ripley and they're building up Bianca Belair, and maybe they bring in Tessa Blanchard, and they have these people on NXT who are going to come up, and the women's roster is suddenly going to be robust, then I think both sides can afford to wait and kind of enjoy life. Like, I don't see WWE needing her to be back right away, but they do need her to come back, and she can kind of do whatever she wants. So that's kind of my feeling. I think that there won't be, that there is not the same sort of rush to come back that maybe there was earlier. So I think she will not appear in a match.
Maybe.
Yeah. All right. We're getting to number three. What'd you got for me, Tyler?
Okay, so this is a fun one. it's not like there's no like telling reason why this would happen, but I'm just like hopeful, and like I think it would be a cool thing. I think that there is potential in the next wrestling year for Johnny Gargano to get cast in a small cameo appearance for a Marvel production.
I did not anticipate that.
I know. Look, Sasha Banks was in The Mandalorian. She had a fairly prominent role where like she had a speaking role for multiple episodes, and she could be brought back next season. Not even that much. Maybe he's just like a background extra, but like things we know about Johnny Gargano, he's a great wrestler, man loves Marvel. And like so I don't know.
Okay.
I'm hopeful for him. I think he can get cast as an extra.
And I'll say that now that it seems like Marvel is gonna acquire like a lot of X-Men stuff, I think he'll be Morph.
Okay, you think he's gonna be an X-Men? Okay.
I think he'll be Morph because he's clearly shown that he can be in a bunch of different superheroes attire. So
sure.
I feel like Morph was pretty small too, so it makes sense to me. Yeah, that's a bizarre one.
It's a bizarre one, but it's great. Fun. It's fun.
I thought I was gonna have the way more bold predictions, and now I'm like, maybe I don't. I think the WWE Championship will change hands on Monday Night Raw at least once.
Ooh.
In this calendar year.
If anything, I'm hopeful. I love that.
I think that there clearly has been an issue with Raw not being buzzworthy for some time. And I think that this is something that AEW, by having less pay-per-views, they are able to promote and build to these special attraction matches on free TV. And even though WWE's business sense might be like, well, don't give away something big for free, I think they did this more often in the Monday Night War. And I think you're going to see some of those same tactics shoot back into television. And I think that, you know, SmackDown's ratings on Fox are great. AEW's ratings are climbing on TNT. So NBC Universal might be like, hey, do something that is like a bold swing. And I think this is like a bold swing that WWE can say to their bosses, to be like, well, here's something bold we're going to do that isn't actually that disastrous for them.
Are you prepared to make a prediction as to who it would be, who would take that belt?
I can see, man, I was about to be like, I could see Brock versus Bobby on
Raw,
but I don't know that they would, I don't know that they would ever give Brock away for free.
No, never.
I could see Drew winning the title back on
that's a Monday good bet. Raw. Very safe bet.
Yeah, I think that might happen.
Okay,
because I don't think Roman will lose it on SmackDown, but I could see Bobby losing it on Raw.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
Number two, we're getting down to the nitty gritty.
Number two. Okay, so this one, there's absolutely, I was going to say, this one is almost, it's not as bold as my Johnny Gargano one, but I wanted to put it higher because I think
it's more wrestling based.
It's more wrestling based, and I think it would be so much cooler. I think at the end of our wrestling calendar year at WrestleMania next year, we will see as still the NXT UK champion Walter in a 3-year reign.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that is bold. Okay,
that'll be 3 years at that point.
I guess it's like, is there anyone on the NXT UK roster that you can argue like should take it off of him? Because with every day that goes further,
yeah,
taking it off of him becomes a bigger deal.
The only person who I would want, and in theory storyline could make sense, would be Dragunov.
Yeah,
just because they had that amazing match, and like maybe if you tell some story about Dragunov like taking this devastating, brutal loss and then coming back from it even stronger to finally tackle the mountain that is Walter, maybe.
I could see maybe Aleister Black being that person if that is what WWE does with him, is just move him to NXT UK, then that would be a big enough person instantly to take it off. I still feel like Finn Balor versus Walter is a match that they should do too. And now, I mean, now that Finn is not the NXT champion, maybe that frees him up to go do a spell in NXT UK.
But honestly,
unless
like,
they do something like that right now, I don't see why you don't let it ride.
Why don't you just let it ride? Like, when's the last time? Not even WWE. When's the last time any major promotion has had a 3-year champion? Okada was champion for 2 years. But, like, even that was unheard of. People were like, Okada's never going to lose this belt. Make Walter a fucking 3-year champion? Do it.
Do
please.
It. You're right. You've talked me into that. They should absolutely do that. She should be a 5-year champion. Just do it.
Break Bruno's record. Make it 8-9 years.
My number two was more of a business thing as well.
Okay.
I think that AEW in the calendar year will double the amount of annual pay-per-views that they have.
Oh, I hope not.
I think they will. I think it will be very WCW of them, but I think that they are getting more and more ratings by having these super matches on free TV, as we've said, but they can't keep them free forever. I think that they need to build more big content if they want to sell to a content provider, which I think is something they want to do. So I think that they will also have one pay-per-view that will air on HBO Max.
Ooh, okay.
So this is like a double bold prediction. I think they're going to try to court HBO to buy them and have a AEW section. And I think that more pay-per-views and more content is the way to do that. So I think they're going to try and get in bed with them, would be my guess, because it's, of the Warner connection.
Yeah, and like they're constantly showing HBO commercials on TNT all the time in Dynamite and stuff. So, I mean, there's potential. Again, I hate the idea of doubling AEW pay-per-views, but there's potential.
Here's the thing, too. They only have four right now. Four.
They have four.
There's Double or Nothing, All Out, Full Gear, and Revolution.
Yeah.
So even if you double that, if you suddenly have eight, it's still not monthly, and it's still way less than WWE has.
Yeah. I don't know, but see, like for me personally, the thing that I like most about the four pay-per-views a year for AEW is not that the pay-per-views themselves do feel bigger, of course, because there's fewer of them. They feel like a more big deal. For me, the best part is the weekly Dynamites feel more important.
Yeah.
Because you have these major like match, these like pay-per-view level matches that they have to throw on Dynamite on random weeks to be a filler for the next 3 months until
but
the
they're
next
still
pay-per-view.
Missing they're still missing one thing of that per view. The pay part.
Yeah. Oh, well.
So, I'm not saying I think this is great, but I think that it is a logical next step.
Yeah, yeah. As a company. Absolutely. Yeah. I'm not for it.
What's your number one? Your right. number one boldest claim.
So I have
throw out there.
A very bold prediction. And then I have a really bold prediction that is silly and fun. And I'm gonna save the silly and fun one for last. That can be like something we could go out on.
Great.
But my bold, serious bold prediction, and it's kind of bold, but I think weirdly there is potential, especially in like after the recent weeks. I think at next year's Royal Rumble, we are going to see the reappearance of one Chris Jericho.
Man.
An active, signed AEW superstar is going to appear in the WWE Royal Rumble.
So do you mean...
It could only be Chris Jericho.
Do you think this will be a one-off? Or do you think that he will... Okay, wow.
Absolutely a one-off. I don't think it's going to go anywhere.
That's a real forbidden door.
It's a real forbidden door. But I don't know, man. Like Jericho being on the Austin podcast, like again, that's just like a small like podcast thing that Austin does kind of separately on that happens to be on the network and now on Peacock. Like, like Vince might not be paying attention to it at all, but from the reports that we have, like Vince signed off on it. He was like, "Sure, you can have Jericho, active AEW superstar, on the podcast," and a lot of people thought that when Jericho went on there, he wasn't even going to really mention AEW. He's just going to talk about like the yesteryears of WWE. But like, no, he spent a good amount of time hyping up AEW, talking about their young stars, talking about the things that AEW does different. I don't know. I think if Jericho keeps like cultivating this WWE relationship and like if it's on good enough terms, somehow I think we could see Jericho show up for just a one-off in the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, I guess there's a little bit of precedent with this because after his initial excursion to New Japan to do Wrestle Kingdom, he did show up on whatever Raw anniversary show it was in his Alpha Club shirt.
Yeah. I think there's potential. But that was my thing. Like, it can only be Chris Jericho.
Yeah, he's the only person who makes sense. The other thing that would stop it is if AEW continues to grow exponentially this year. Like, they would have to remain stagnant, I think, for Vince to be comfortable with this.
Would AEW be against it? I don't think
so. No.
I certainly don't think so. I don't think they could stop him. I don't know what Jericho's contract says, but
Yeah, I think, like, because here's the thing. They might be like, okay, Jericho, you're going to do this, but you can't wear AEW like merch.
Yeah.
He'd be like, yeah, great. I'm still going to wear the ring gear.
I'm going to wear my black pants and my weird like spike jacket and the fedora. Like,
yeah,
I think there's possibility. That's my bold one.
All right. My bold one is also a business thing, oddly enough.
Andrew's the business guy. He's the numbers.
I guess so. We were talking earlier about, when we talk about released people, about people potentially showing up in Ring of Honor, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here's my bold prediction. I think this year there will be a bidding war to buy Ring of Honor's video library, and they will cease to exist as a active wrestling promotion.
Oh my god! your prediction.
I don't mean
is
to be like the prognosticator of like Ring of Honor. Bad news. Yeah, I think Ring of Honor is going to die this year.
Okay.
I think they have quickly, with the advent of AEW and with the kind of reemergence or like re-getting back on track of Impact, and with the partnership between Impact, AEW, and New Japan, that very quickly Ring of Honor is not in the conversation as as the all-star of the independent circle, which is what they were founded to be, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They were founded to be the all-star indie promotion and the builder of tomorrow's superstars. And now I don't think they're either of those. I think that they're the only promotion that really didn't run any shows this year. Mm-hmm. They did a few. They did their pure title tournament, and they did Final Battle, but that was it.
Yeah.
The biggest stars they have, I mean, a plus 50-year-old person from three generations of wrestling ago was their world champion for a bit this year. And Rush is, like, has to be getting offers from everywhere, right? And then the other people that they have at the top of their card are either at the end of their career or highly problematic in some way, or both, right? When you look at Jay Lethal, the Briscoes.
Briscoes.
Flip Gordon. Like, there's a reason they didn't bring Flip to AEW.
Yeah.
And the fact that they paid all this money to Marty, and then Marty became persona non grata.
Yeah.
And I imagine some of that is guaranteed money. So, like, some of that they can't get back. You've also had weird scandals with them in the past 2 years. The whole thing with Bully Ray berating a fan for booing Velvet Sky.
Yeah.
And then you've got weird things with Kelly Klein as well, talking about abuse and, or not abuse, sorry, but like unsafe work conditions, about them not having ambulances at shows. You had the really weird thing where former producer there, Joey Matthews, was just saying, like, here are all these things that are wrong with the company. And they're owned by Sinclair Broadcasting, who are not a great company either, and don't seem to they seem like the kind of place that would cut and run if they suddenly were not profitable, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like WWE would have value, would be able to talk to Sinclair Broadcasting and offer them money to buy that library.
Yeah.
I guess, like, who is this, like, super crazy? Like, do you think, what percentage do you think there is of this actually happening?
I mean, you bring up a lot of very good points. And I think, again, like, I'm not sure, but I think, to their credit, I think Ring of Honor was one of the few promotions that at the beginning of COVID refused to cut anyone.
Yeah.
Much like New Japan. New Japan said, like, we're not firing anyone. We're just going to keep everyone and try to pay them if we can. So I
don't know what revenue streams they have, though.
Yeah. So to their credit, I think they did that, which is a great thing, but that's you're taking a massive money hit during a time where you can't get ticket sales and things like that. And again, like you made a very good point, like Ring of Honor has absolutely fallen from what was once considered like the second like the number two American promotion for professional wrestling.
Not
at this
too
point
long ago.
At this point I would rank them maybe fifth, maybe. Yeah. If you consider like NXT as a second or something, like I don't
No, I mean the money still is coming from Stanford there. So but in the eyes of an audience, like it's another show to watch. So it's below WWE, it's below AEW, it's below Impact, and it's below NXT, and it's below New Japan.
Yeah.
And maybe below New Japan Strong.
Maybe. So I mean there's potential to it. If anything, it almost confirms my Danhausen prediction. But.
Yeah. Well, the other part of this prediction was that there is a bidding war. So who would get more value out of having the Ring of Honor library?
I think WWE.
Yeah.
AEW doesn't have a streaming library yet. And to be fair, when WWE made the jump to Peacock, they didn't lose a lot of their library, but a lot of the library hasn't gone over, or at least hasn't gone over yet.
Yeah.
So I think WWE would benefit the most from having it. And also because they still have, I think they have more Ring of Honor stars still at the company with,
AJ,
Kevin Steen, Tyler Black.
It'd be worth it
Cesaro.
Just to have the backlog of Daniel Bryan, Cesaro, having all the Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens matches.
So I think they would benefit more from it. Again, it's just like I don't know what AEW would do with it.
They would use it to get put on a streaming network to get like everything on there. I mean, the people who made Ring of Honor hot before AEW started were the Young Bucks.
It's
Adam
true.
Page.
It's true. They also have massive Ring of Honor stars. So.
Kenny Omega. Yeah. So there are some people in there, even if we don't think of them as Ring of Honor specific anymore.
Yeah.
I guess the answer really is WWE, because then WWE also has, like, if AEW starts getting more popular, then you have. Here are a bunch of Kenny Omega and Cody and Young Buck matches on the network.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, I think this makes sense as like a really important buy for the WWE. And I think they should have done it like 7 years ago, honestly, because like when they still had CM Punk and Samoa Joe and some of the other people who were big, big people. But I think NXT has replaced Ring of Honor and what it meant to the wrestling landscape. And I think WWE could stand to benefit from the library. So
that's fair.
Yeah. What was your fun one?
Oh, so my fun one. This was almost going to be my number one. But the more I thought about it, the more I was like, it would be interesting, but it'd also be like a very dumb move to do now. But I think Orange Cassidy is going to turn heel and become a serious wrestler.
Oh, I think it's possible he could turn heel.
It's like if they ever turn him heel, that's the way to do it. Like make him suddenly like a serious like catch-as-catch-can wrestler, like a Timothy Thatcher or something like that.
Yeah.
But it would just be to me it would be dumb to do it right now. Like where he hasn't even reached the height of his potential as a face. So
I'm curious to see what him as a heel would be. It'd be fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And now I want that to happen much more than all of my bummer leg predictions. Mine were sad. All right. Well, we've hit our time limit. So as a reminder, if you want us to answer your questions in the KFA 520, submit them to us on our website, muchadowrestling.com. And while you're there, vote for match and wrestler of the year. Do you have anything you want to plug, Tyler?
I got nothing.
Yeah, same here. So then as always, we're going to leave you with the words of the immortal William Shakespeare. If wrestling be the food of love, fight on.
Ah, yes. Much Ado About Wrestling, Housen. Very nice. Very evil.
That's a good Conan impression you did.
Love that, Dan Housen.